Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today we are joined by one of Hollywood's most talked about enigmas, Sam Asghari. You might know him as the fitness trainer turned actor, or maybe as the former partner of pop icon Britney Spears, but there's so much more behind the headlines. From humble beginnings to the bright lights of Los Angeles, Sam carved his lane in modeling, acting, and inspiring millions through fitness. But in 2025, he took a wildly unexpected turn, stepping into the ultimate mind game on The Traitors Season 3. In a Scottish castle surrounded by lies, alliances, and backstabbing drama, Sam got the full reality TV experience with some of the biggest reality TV stars. We'll talk about his unique path to success, the media frenzy of his high-profile relationship, and how he is building his brand and business entirely on his own on the go forward. Sam, thank you for being on Trading Secrets.
Oh, thank you for reminding me for all those things. That was a great intro.
That's right, man. Yeah. We're going. I mean, you got a wild resume, a wild story, but that's what brings you here today. And I think one of the things we talked about, just as like we were kind of getting ready here, is Dylan Efron's been on the show on Trading Secrets, but Dylan's also been on Traders. Dylan also is not a reality star, and you two were in the mix on Traders. But weren't you guys in Florida when this whole recent story came out about you guys like saving people that were drowning?
Yeah, I mean, it was really fun. You know, I was out there shooting a movie and Dylan was out there for an appearance, and we went to this golf tournament and we got back, and then we were like, oh, let's just go to, you know, South Beach and enjoy the beach. And then we go there and I just hear like this lady sort of, you know, yelling out in Spanish, and she was waving her arms, and I was like, wait a minute, like what's happening? What's going on here? I look around and then I don't see any lifeguards. There's no lifeguards. I was like, Dylan, you're a surfer, let's go. And so they just ran out there, him and his buddy, a good friend of his. They ran out there, they dragged two of the ladies out, and then it was just like a chaos that was happening.
That is crazy.
And there was no lifeguards. It was so busy. And you know, after a few minutes after those ladies were brought out, you know, the ambulance came, the lifeguards came and things like that. But it's just, it goes to tell you how important it is to make sure you're watching your kids when you're enjoying the summer.
Yeah.
Because those waves could get, you know, if you don't know how to swim and things like that, it's just, it gets difficult. And, you know, next thing you know, you panic and you forget everything you know, and you just, it was just a scary moment, but I'm glad we were there and we were able to be a small part of it. And Dylan and his friend just went out there, got them out, and they just walked away after that.
And you spotted them, though. You're the one who spotted the people that were drowning. Yeah, that's crazy. Now, with you and Dylan, have you become pretty close? And this is after the show, right?
Yeah, we're good friends. Okay. You know, like I said, we just hang out here and there after the show. The show was during a three-week period in a castle, and you don't have your phone, so you're forced to hang out with people. And in the castle, I resonated with people that were not a reality, you know, star or things like that. And he's my age. He likes the same lifestyle as, you know, I do. And we're going to cross paths and we're going to work together in other projects as well. So we just naturally just hang out here and there. It's fun.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. That is good stuff. Yeah. Did you know him before Traders or no?
I did not know him.
Okay, so you met him just on Traders. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I love it. That's good stuff. You're saving lives and doing all kinds of wild shit in your career path, but let's actually start all the way back when, and then we'll get to the good stuff and come back to Traders. But, you know, you come to the United States, what, around 12 years old, and then you decide, you play football, and you decide that you're going to pursue an acting, modeling, fitness career, right? So what was, like, your first professional gig that you're like, okay, what I wanted to pursue, I'm doing here in the States? And around how much could you make at that point early on?
So, you know, coming to America, this is a thing that I always say, you know, just like you or people that were born and raised here,
yeah,
it's sometimes it's very hard to realize what you have here mm-hmm. in America. You know, it's not a perfect country. I get that. We have a lot of issues on a daily basis that, you know, with politics, with everything, with society, but it makes America the country that is, that we decide to, you know, focus on those issues and we're so open to it and there's freedom of speech. So coming from a country like Iran, I always talk about this, was such an eye-opening to be here and have a lot of opportunities. So for me growing up, everything was an opportunity, whether if it was high school football, whether if it was jobs. So at this time, I was working at Gold's Gym. And Gold's Gym, I was selling memberships at Gold's Gym.
How old are you at this point?
This is probably right after, a year after college.
Okay. I
come back from Nebraska, and I'm working at Gold's Gym as a salesman, selling memberships. And during the end of the week, biweekly, I was working at Gold's Gym and Best Buy, selling computers.
Okay.
And then during my lunchtime, I was trying to squeeze in spring football practice at Pierce College. So all those things were happening, and I was not telling people that I was going to football practice at my lunchtime.
Yeah.
And I was coming back like 2 hours later. I was ditching football practice, coming back to work and doing all that stuff. And I got fired from Gold's Gym. They told me, you know what? The manager was my friend. He's like, listen, we can't be doing that, but you can. I'm going to let you go. Then I'll rehire you as a personal trainer every time you want to come back. But do what you got to do. He just saw me hustling.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really, it wasn't a punishment. It was just like, I respect it, but you know, I got to do what I got to do. I got to let you go. So, and it was a moment of time where there was a confusion of what I'm going to do. Am I going to continue playing football because I got to support myself? I got to pay bills. I got to do this. And then that's when, you know, things were happening and I was transforming myself physically, getting in a better, because when you play football, you're kind of, you know, you're overweight, you're athletic, but you're not like in the best weight possible. I was like 275 to 290.
Damn.
Yeah.
What are you now? 220, 210?
I would say under 200.
That's crazy.
So it wasn't a thing for acting or modeling or over anything it was, but my sister was, you know, doing this fashion show with a local designer in LA. His name is Michael Costello.
Okay.
And she's like, oh, why don't you just come and maybe you can walk on the show. And at the same time, one of my good friends, a former football player that was my roommate at the time, his name is Quentin Sales, he was like, why don't you just get some headshots and let me just make a fake email and start managing you? So, you know, and that's when it really started. You know, I went to downtown LA in this park. I got some headshots that I never used.
Yeah.
Because they were not headshots.
Yeah.
They were
just
random pictures. But I did walk the fashion show, and then that's when I realized maybe this is a place for me, because I've done theater and drama throughout high school.
Okay.
Alongside football. So it was sort of, you know, it worked perfectly. And I was physically transforming, so it was, my confident level was, you know, at 1,000, and it was time to go. And that's when I started really getting into acting. And
what age is this around?
This is around 21.
21, okay. Yeah. And how old are you today?
I'm 31.
Okay, so in a 10-year span, you go from working at Gold's Gym selling memberships, potentially playing football, acting, modeling, getting married to Britney Spears, that not working out, becoming a more well-known actor and reality star and now model. This has all happened in 10 years.
Yes.
That's a wild 10 years. So we're going to dive into it. Before we do, though, I don't want to take it lightly what you said about the fortunes we have in this country. When you go, like, and we talk, of course, like money on this podcast and opportunity. When you say we need to be a little bit more appreciative of the opportunity that we have here, when you look at your parents when they lived in Iran as a younger child, how, like, as far as like career and money goes, like what type of options are available in Iran?
So,
and how far does money go in Iran?
Money goes far away as long as you have it, right?
Okay.
So, but opportunities don't.
Okay.
The difference is I wouldn't be able to do the same thing in Iran, basically. If I was there and I wanted to do acting or any, it wouldn't be. It's a monopoly system. It's just hard. Versus in America, you know, you could do anything. You could do podcasts, and you could, next thing you know, you have multi-million dollar contract with Spotify or you know, SiriusXM or iHeart, whatever the case is. And you could be a plumber and you can have a, you know, billion dollar business from plumbing. Those small things, those are not available in other countries, not just Iran, but also in some amazing Scandinavian countries or European countries. It's just America was described to me as this, you know, token that was kind of like a dream. Mm. The American dream, you know, a lot of people say it's dead. I don't think so, because as long as you work, it pays back. And it's only proven to me.
Yeah.
And it's just something that never fails. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, to be able to do that. And there's never a competition. Like, if you're doing the same thing as me, it could be a healthy competition. It's not like one of us is the only person that's going to succeed.
Sure.
We can both succeed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what I love about this country.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
When you say monopoly, are just most businesses run by the government then over there?
You know, I haven't been there in a long time, but the government is very, you know, hands-on with everything, especially when it comes to entertainment, sports. And, you know, I have friends that fled the country because they were so popular as, you know, soccer players. And they had to leave everything behind just because they opened their mouth against the government, because they don't want somebody to become powerful just in case they want to take over, whatever the case is.
Interesting.
It's sort of a, you know, a dictatorship. And, you know, I know many people that went to school to become a doctor and all they have available is to, you know, work at Uber. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, there goes to tell you, no matter how hard you work, there's going to be a moment where you might not be able to succeed.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I think it's good to like shed some light
on
this
that. This is just the government, not the people.
Right. The government, not the people. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that was 12 years old, you come here, and then we fast forward to 21 years old. So that's around 2015 or so. Yeah. Just curiosity, when you're working at Gold's Gym as selling memberships, how much money can you make in a role like that?
You know what? I don't remember, but it wasn't much. It was just paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. And especially me, I was working multiple jobs. But it wasn't about the money. It was a responsibility because, you know, I had people that were so close to me that didn't make it to the U.S.
And
I wanted to make something out of myself. So, you know, if you're doing 10 things at once, one of them is going to hit, one of them is going to catch. Gold's Gym, I would say roughly around $2,000-$3,000 a month if it was a full-time job. And then if you did hit the bonus, was 50 membership, plus, if you sign people up, you would get an extra $500.
Yeah.
But I was doing really well at that. And I don't remember what it was, but at Best Buy was also a sales job, which I was also doing really well. And I was, you know, number one or two in the country as far as sales a few times back to back. But that's what it was about. It was about, you know, working those jobs, taking advantage of whatever there was at that moment, and really just trying my best.
Yeah, so what happened in that 1 year time frame? So 2016, you are casted to be the love interest on Britney Spears' Slumber Party. And in 2015, you're doing Best Buy and you're working at Gold's Gym. And that 1 year, what did you do professionally from a modeling and acting career that got you to a point where you're getting called to be Britney Spears' love interest in a music video? Because that's a big jump in a year.
It's a big jump. It's a big jump. But a lot happened in that 1 year. The second I started focusing on, you know, the entertainment industry, most actors start with commercial. And that's what I started. I got a commercial agent And I started auditioning for commercial, you know, commercials that make a lot of money, by the way.
Give me an example of a commercial.
I did, the first audition I ever did, I booked, was Toyota Prius commercial.
Okay.
But it was a Super Bowl commercial.
Dope. Your first one was a Super Bowl commercial?
Yeah, first one.
And what was your role in the commercial?
So I was a gas guzzler. I was just putting in gas, and then this car kind of, this Toyota Prius kind of does a little drift and then takes off, and then I just react to it.
Okay, when you're auditioning for a role, like in a commercial, what do they have you do in an audition?
Just like exactly what you're going to do to film. So which was, you know, if you're going to say something about, like if it's a Taco Bell commercial, you just say, oh, the Supreme wrap is amazing, whatever the case is. Very exaggerated, very commercial. But it wasn't long that I decided commercial is cool, but I want more out of it.
Okay, before we go to wanting more out of it, what, if you land the commercial you did, what is a typical commercial, like a Toyota Prius commercial, pay?
I think that one was between $25,000 to $50,000 after residuals. So
dude, that's pretty, I think that's pretty damn good. For
it's
what
amazing.
For because at this point, your notoriety is next to, like, I mean, just let's call a spade. You don't have any fame at this point. So they're not buying your name, image, and likeness. They're buying your talent.
Yeah.
And so you do one shoot one day, $25,000, $50K.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a lot more than slinging memberships at Gold's Gym.
Exactly. And sometimes that's more than TV and film.
Wow.
So a lot of commercial actors do make a lot of money, you know, especially if you're like Jake from State Farm.
Yeah, oh, he's killing it.
But the thing is, if you do commercial, then you're a commercial actor. So how long do you want to stay and doing commercials? Do you want to be taken seriously as a TV and film, theatrical, or whatever the case is? Mine was, I want to go to the next level.
Okay. And next level is what in your mind?
TV and film.
Okay. That's and what did that transition look like?
That transition was very cool. But in acting, sometimes, you know, it takes a long time because once you get into, you know, getting to know the casting directors or getting to know your agent, first you got to find the agent that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go with CAA and that's a big agency, but you can get lost. You can go with a smaller agency that can work very well for you. But then you got to make auditions, and then even if you don't get it, they end up liking you and they end up thinking of you and they bring you back, or you book it, and then it's sort of like a relationship that you have to build. So it does take a little bit of time, and you know, during that transitional period, I was still doing some, you know, I was never going to do modeling because I didn't want to be known as a model.
Okay.
But I did do sports. You know, I've done Under Armour campaigns. I did Cedars-Sinai, did a whole billboard thing, which was, I was on the billboard when the Rams moved back to LA.
Okay.
So, you know, I kind of lived my football dream as well.
Yeah.
In the acting world. That's what's really cool about acting is because you get to do these
things that you might have otherwise not accomplished.
So,
yeah.
You know, during that 1 year period before that music video, I did, you know, I did a lot. And I also did another music video that was my first opening to the pop culture was Fifth Harmony, which was like this, it was called Work From Home.
Okay.
It was Fifth Harmony. It was like a bunch of like construction guys working. And that's, we did that. And that one was pretty cool. And it hit social media pretty well as well. So it was a cool moment. But there was a moment of time where it was enough doing music videos as well because I wanted to go to the next level.
Right.
It's always
just wanting to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's continue to stay hungry and stay doing what you want to do. So you're in commercials. Mm-hmm. You then want to get into acting. You then get into music videos. Within this year time period, before you get the big call to go on Britney Spears' music video, how much do you think you're making in this entertainment field, would you say?
At the same time, I was training people as well.
So you're hustling. You're doing like six things.
I think that's all, no matter how much the paycheck is going to be, I'm always going to occupy my time because there's a responsibility that I have now. And the responsibility is I have this opportunity. And if I let it go to waste, I'm kind of being ungrateful.
Yeah.
You know, and because I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to have these opportunities. I'm not supposed to, you know, it's not supposed to just happen. I have to figure out how to deal with the guilt because, you know, at the end of the day, you do become lucky. You do get lucky and you put in the work, obviously. But if those things go together, then miracles happen. So there's a guilt that I have to feel with. Which, you know, I have cousins that were close to me from Iran that never made it here and their lives are completely different.
Wow.
And they had a lot more potential than I did.
Wow.
You know, so there, within that, there's always going to be that hustle and that fire.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. I mean, I was, you know, I was still training clients in the morning, and that was the best. It was my waiter job. A lot of actors have waiter jobs.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, getting up in the morning from 6 a.m. till 12 in the afternoon. I was knocking out 5-6 clients a day, having a full-time training job, then going into acting classes and training myself, whatever the case was, stunt training and doing all that stuff just in case I book something.
Yeah.
So I'm ready for it.
And so just based on what you're saying with the commercial 25, you're probably making just over $100,000 or so grinding all these jobs at 21.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. And when you your goal is to go from commercial acting to then get into acting, before the music video, did you land an acting role?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a couple TV shows. I did music videos. I was doing really well with, you know, print jobs as well.
Yeah.
But
wait, what'd you call them? What'd you go?
Print jobs.
What's so a like, print job?
Print is if you book something that goes into print, like a modeling job.
Okay.
You know, I was signed to Wilhelmina, which was a really high modeling agency, and I was getting a lot of offers from.
Give me an example of a print job, like
for example,
to Vogue or something.
No, that's more. You know, magazines, that's press. We're not talking about that. Let's say Under Armour. Armour wanted to, you know, release this winter collection. And that was a print job. So that was, you know, that was like a modeling campaign, but it was on the sports side, which was, you know, aligned with my future and what I wanted to do.
Sure.
And it paid well. I mean, decent.
Like 10,000?
I think I would say something like that. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, but around,
you know,
that, yeah.
But you end up paying, you know, your agents and your managers, which is really good.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to make
millions
of dollars because that means I'm going to make a lot more money.
Yeah. That's true. That's right. They keep making money, you get more deals.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it was between that, but it was never about the money.
Yeah.
It was more about the resume and how I can go to the next level and how I could book, you know, or at least make an impression on the person that's booking so they can bring me in later.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So then for everyone listening to this, Sam, you have a very, very humble, down to earth energy about you. So I feel comfortable saying this. I know this is your ex-wife, but when I was in fifth grade, like Britney Spears was like, that was my crush. I had my first CD cover and it's Britney Spears. And I mean, then you get a call to be her love interest. In the spirit of just like transparency, we were like, holy shit. Like I went from doing a Toyota Prius commercial from working at a gym, not knowing what I'm gonna do. And now I'm getting called to do Britney Spears music video as her love interest. Like that had to be a pinch me moment.
Yeah, definitely it was. I mean, I wasn't my sisters and people that grew up in that moment of time where she was at her peak.
Yeah.
You know, they were definitely fans. And I think one of my cousins even had like a poster of her.
Yeah.
But I wasn't too familiar with the music myself.
Interesting. Or,
you know, as a little young boy, you know, you're not going to grow up listening to pop culture music or getting into that. But it was really cool. You know, it was a good moment. But there was a moment between the conversation between me and my agent and my mentor if I was going to do a music video or not, because at the time they had asked me if I want to do a music video for an A-list pop star.
Okay.
They didn't disclose it.
Oh, interesting.
It was sort of like, you know, hush hush about it.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know what, I've done my music video and we would like to focus on TV and film if that's the case, you know, because music videos don't pay much. And
what is a music, like on average, like what's a music video like this
maybe
pay?
It's SAG minimum. So it's, I don't know what the numbers are, but maybe $1,000, $2,000.
Okay, gotcha.
Nothing crazy, but it wasn't about the money. It was about the vision. And, you know, if you look the way I do and you're a personal trainer and then you end up taking on cheesy projects, then you might be, you know, known
diminishing
as
your brand,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that was the case. We were trying to roughen me up, you know, go on the gritty side and do TV and film and get away from the modeling stuff. So the whole focus was on that. And then my friend, my mentor, his name is Maxie, that does makeup and hair, been in the industry for a very long time. He said, "Oh, I'm actually working on the music video. You should do it just for fun. Why not?" So that's when I got into the music video and it was fun. It was, you know.
And you still, until the day you showed up for that music video, you didn't know who the pop star was going to be.
No, I obviously when I found the name, I knew who she was, but I didn't, you know, I wasn't too familiar with her career or her music or anything like that. just because it wasn't cool to, you know, listen to that type of stuff as a young man growing up for whatever reason.
Yeah, for sure. That's a wild move. And when you cast for a role like that, did you know it was going to be her love interest, or do you just know that it's going to be a role of some sort?
It was like the opposite lead or love interest or whatever they called it. They just never disclosed who the person was going to be, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So you do that shoot. It goes well. The story's all online. You give her your number. You go back to work. You guys don't really connect for a little while.
Yeah, I just go back to real life. You know, one thing about me is I get thrilled, but I like to be as professional as possible. Yeah. So, you know, whatever happens, you know, I'm excited. But also, I had to build this mentality in sports and in entertainment is you do your best job as you can do, and then you got to leave it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't think about it. You can't, oh, I could have done it better. That's going to, you know, hurt you because obviously you could, you know, you look in the mirror, you don't think of yourself as something, but other people think of you, you know. That mentality I built was, you know, walking away from that music video. It was really cool, great opportunity. Whatever happens, happens.
Okay. And so then you go back and now you're going full speed into acting. Yeah. And in this time period between Brittany reaching back out to you and you pursuing your career full force, was there any like moment professionally or like big opportunity you got within that 5 months or 6 months that you're like, I won't forget that one. It was a good one.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few things that happened financially. I think one of the best things that happened was throughout my connections I've made and the social media that I've made.
Yeah.
Putting out inspirational videos for fitness. Yeah. There was a supplement company that sponsored me for like, it was like a year contract, which was really good amount of money. And at that time, and I was really grateful for that because it was going to only, you know, help my dreams come true.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to work hourly to make money like that. So it was my first time that I used my social media and used the platform to do something that was natural.
Yeah.
You know, I've had offers at that time where it was like, oh, post this thing. But it was like, okay, it's not very natural.
It's not something you're using or doing.
Yeah, anyway. And I'm not an influencer. But if it's something that I'm already doing and you're not asking me to post a product, mm-hmm. you're asking me to post about me.
Yeah.
And then you want to just sponsor me. It was a really cool moment to, you know, have that opportunity to work with those people. It was a company called First Form. And they're out in Missouri.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do a good job. And my brand aligned with their brand. And at that time was quite a lifesaver for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was going through all this stuff. And then now, you know, I'm dating somebody. And, you know, dating costs money. And you have to
go on
dates. You have to look your best. You have to buy outfits.
Yeah.
So it was a good moment for that opportunity to come.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. Social Casino.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
That's really cool. All right. So one article I read is in People, and I think they had said that maybe you admitted that, you know, you guys being married might have kickstarted your acting career. Yes. But I want to take a different approach to it because people always look at one side. I want to take the other approach of it. So you're independently successful. You're a hustler. You're working your ass off. Six different jobs, commercials, music videos, acting classes, acting. You're becoming a fitness instructor, fitness influencer. So you're doing these things that are building your brand. Yeah. And when you start dating someone that has that type of celebrity, I'm sure it helps. In this article, it says it helps. But I also have to imagine there are certain restrictions to what you can do and when you can do it, just because if you can't make a mistake, that might impact her.
Sure.
So was there any, from a career perspective, anything you had to kind of adjust or take maybe different directions because, yes. right? Like, because yes. I think people only Absolutely. Look at, oh, it might have propelled, but also it might have put you in a position where you had to adjust things too because you're worried yeah. about the impact it could have on a massive a personality.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm always going to be grateful for the platform that that relationship gave me naturally.
Yeah, yeah.
And it works naturally. I mean, there's a lot of people in the industry that have, you know, that relationship where, you know, it helps your career or it doesn't hurt. You yeah. can't say, oh, it hurt.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt, but I was already working very hard. I was already, you know, acting and doing all that stuff and by the nature and by my traits and my qualities, no matter what, I think I would have been successful.
Yeah.
But you do have to, you know, be careful because one, with her situation and her under a conservatorship, and that was one thing. And number two is I'm also representing somebody.
Sure.
So it was, I have to show the best version. And then back to, I don't want to be associated with cheesy stuff, with not that commercial is cheesy. Yeah. That even gets harder.
Yeah.
So there's more that I have to reject and more things that I have to kind of be selective and go into that because now I'm not, you know, this you know, ripped trainer guy
yeah.
that's doing cheesy stuff and then dating a pop star. So all this stuff is, you know, so, you know, out of touch for things. And I like to be right there with people. My, you know, my whole thing is to be down to earth, to mm-hmm. be, you know, I'm always going to be that.
Yeah.
And that's just, it makes it a little bit harder for me to reach what I wanted to reach.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, as far as putting you on a platform and putting you out there to the world, it helps.
Yeah.
But also it was a moment to be selective and be the best representative. You got eyes on you. You have to, you know, be respectful and things like that, which was very easy for me because I was planning on doing that throughout my life anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with a relationship like that and then adjusting things professionally, I think there becomes a lot of praise. And I think you also experience a lot of mislabeling and mischaracterization of like, you know, you're there to like get the bump or benefit from her career. So I'm curious, that's a lot. I mean, in her fan base is so strong. That's a lot of noise to hear at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone listening to this in some capacity in their world has to hear some form of noise, criticism, especially on social media at some level. Mm-hmm. You heard it at like one of the biggest levels a human will ever hear it at. Mm-hmm. How did you deal with it? How'd you interpret it? And what tips do you have for people back home that are maybe being mislabeled or mischaracterized and having to deal with like the pressures of all the noise?
That's a good question. I don't know how I dealt with it, but
you're like, I'm a strong motherfucker.
It's not about being strong. It's not about, you know, having this numbness to the world. It's about doing the right thing. And no matter what the noise is, and eventually, you know, not the truth will come out, but eventually it's just, you know, it's undeniable that you are a good person. You are putting the work and then you are supposed to be reaching the same level as some other people are, just because you're putting the work. So for me, you know, I always had confidence in myself. I always mm-hmm. knew that I was going to reach, you know, a certain level because I was never satisfied with what it was given to me because there was a responsibility, like we talked about earlier. And then I'm here, you know, I better take advantage of the opportunities that is being presented to me. But at the same time, you know, growing up with three sisters and being a guest to this country. My uncle always told me, you're a guest to this country. No matter if you're a citizen and this is your country now, you're a guest. So you're not doing anything wrong. You're not going to fuck over anybody. You're not going to do anything. So I always had that mentality, you know, and I think in order to build an empire, you need a team anyway. So why would you ever, you know, fuck over somebody yeah. just for your own benefit? So I think if you are that, and mm-hmm. that is true, no matter what happens, it's just undeniable.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. One thing I know you've talked about on other podcasts, we've talked about it at length on this podcast with all different types of personalities from, you know, we've had divorce attorneys on, we've had billionaires on, sharks from Shark Tank, Real Housewives in New York that have been divorced and gone through it. And we talk a lot about contracts. Yeah. So, and you've talked about seeing NDAs and gag orders. And I'm curious your take now on some of these contracts and how they integrate the personal aspect, but the professional aspect with things like NDAs NDAs, prenups, postnups, gag orders? Like, what is your relationship with these contracts now, knowing that you've also been part of them and lived in them?
I mean, you know, I just did audition for a project. I had to sign the NDA just to see the information on. So people have to protect their information.
Yeah.
And there's art involved and things that could be stolen or information that could be, you know, affected. I'm all for it. Why not? You have to be respectful of those information. But for me, my morals and my upbringing is that if there was no NDA or those type of things, I would have dealt with it the same way. It doesn't matter. So it's just those contracts are amazing and great. But, you know, my word is just as good as those contracts, if not even better, because at least I understand my words. I'm not just signing a piece of paper that was most likely done by ChatGPT nowadays. But, you know, it's just those are great.
Yeah.
Whatever you have to do to protect yourself, prenup or anything like that. Like, my relationship with my ex-wife was that I wanted her to have a prenup. I wanted to make sure she's protected, because throughout her life, everybody, I don't know one person that's ever been in her life that didn't take an advantage of
That's her. Sad.
You know, so it's very sad.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure I'm the person that it don't do that.
And how, I don't know, I'm getting, like, just hearing this, I'm getting a little, like, frustrated in your defense, because you're the one person going in there with character saying, I don't need an NDA. I will still sign the NDA, but I conduct myself and my business under an NDA, whether I sign it or not. You're the one person, you know, that's probably, like you said, not taking advantage of her. And then you're getting, I feel like, labeled as someone that might have been, and how frustrating that is. But I love what you said about, like, kind of the truth always surfaces, like character always prevails. And like, if they don't see it today, they'll see it tomorrow.
Yep.
What do you think is the number, like, if you had to think about the number one thing that people got wrong about your relationship with her, what would you say the number one thing, the number one misconception?
You know, I think it's, I never get mad at the general public or, you know, fans or people that are seeing your life from a distance.
Yeah.
Especially now that I'm, you know, not in a relationship for over 2 years.
Yeah.
Or a year and something. You know, looking from an outside perspective, I see, you know, there's an age difference, there's a fame difference, there's this, there's that. But realistically, we met as co-stars. I was working, you know, alongside her.
Sure.
And that happens in the acting world, because everybody's busy and, you know, you're working on set and you're spending a lot of time, sometimes more time than your own family.
Yeah.
So it's just natural how that works, just like it is in an office. If you're working in an office, you meet a coworker. So it is, but also no matter what, there's always going to be people that have their own opinions. And, you know, I respect that.
Yeah.
But the only thing that really matters to me is what I think of myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I don't lie to someone or if I'm late, that's all for my confidence. You know, if I show up late to this podcast, that's on me.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful to you. It's disrespectful to everybody that's involved, you know, in the function. But my respect for myself is I'm going to make sure I'm early. I'm going to make sure, you know, I present myself a certain way. It's all for me.
Yeah.
So it's not really focused on, you know, the fans or whoever. It's always going to be, you know, for me, my career is always going to be, I'm always going to do things that's going to benefit the fans and people that are watching me, and I want to be a good example. But at the same time, it's because that makes me feel better.
Yeah, you know? I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. What's cool about this podcast is we get to talk financial elements, personal elements, and then professional. And the thing is, if you look at those in silos, you're looking at life in the wrong way, because they all bleed together, they all impact it.
Yeah.
And a general question I usually talk to people too is about, like, especially in this world where so many people, both parties in relationships right now, everyone's working full speed trying to build their brand or their business or their impact or their non-for-profit, whatever it is. And there's always an interesting element of professional support from relationship to relationship and how they're navigating that. As much as you felt like maybe you were supporting this, all the success, what was that? Did you feel that's reciprocated? And what is your take on, like, just supporting someone and seeing both sides of it in a relationship?
I think
professionally, not just personally, but
I think it's important to, you know, build an empire together.
Yeah.
So that's number one thing that you want to look into a partner. 100%. built an empire together.
100%.
But, you know, when it gets really difficult when you arrive and then the other person already has an empire.
Yeah.
And other people are benefiting from it. So yeah. It was a standpoint where that didn't matter at the time. It was more of supporting, you know, her to get to a place where she wants to be.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, getting the people that are not supposed to be there to not be there. Mm-hmm. It was a very difficult situation for me personally, but I think the number one most important thing in relationships are that you're supposed to look in for somebody that you want to build an empire with.
100%.
And you do that, and that way you don't have to worry about prenup or anything like that. It's like my thing is if I, you know, do a prenup would be you either get everything or nothing.
Okay.
So you know what I mean? You know what that means?
Yeah.
So basically you either have it all because this is all for you, we're building it for you, or nothing. It's not like we're not going to think about half.
Interesting take on a prenup. Yeah.
So, you know, I think when you do get married, it's for the rest of your life, but, you know, shit happens.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad was divorced a couple of times. My friend's dad was it's very common, and life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you can't really dwell on the past and things that didn't happen or things that did happen or, you know, wish for something better. You just have to appreciate it and celebrate the moment that you spend, the experiences that you had. It was a big part of my life, and we're just going to leave it as that, and we're always going to be, you know, grateful for the experience.
Grateful for the experience, continue to grow and continue to move on. Perfectly said. One, like, this is a question that has nothing to do with the podcast, but I was just curious. You've been on reality TV.
Yes.
Now you've been on Unscripted. And as a guy who's been on reality TV and has a lot of friends in reality TV, I was just curious. I'm like, I wonder if you and Brittany watch reality TV together. Did you ever watch reality TV?
No, we never did. Okay. You know, I love Lucy. We watched a lot. Friends and those very comfortable, entertaining.
But no reality TV.
No. Okay. I never watched it previously before Traders. Yeah.
So this was your first go, first watch, first everything. Yeah. Okay. We're going to get to Traders in a second. I do want to talk as we're going through chronological order.
Yeah.
Through 2016, we now have a good idea of, like, mentally where you're at, things you're working on. 2016 to 2023 is when, you, of course, you're in the relationship. Talk to me about your career then. Like, what are some things for you personally that, like, you're super proud of, or like your marquee moments in that time period for, like, what you're trying to do with your profession?
You know, during that time, it was very difficult to do certain things because I had to be selective, you know, so I couldn't do this.
Like, what's one thing you had to turn down?
I turned down a few modeling things back then.
Okay.
And it was because it was associated with women and I wanted to be...
Got it.
I wanted to be respectful.
Yeah.
It was very sensitive time and a very sensitive situation I was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to be very successful and things like that. So that was at that time.
Yeah.
Now it's
different. Yeah, different circumstances.
Yeah. So there was a few things I had to turn down, and obviously things that ever involved her, a lot of, you know, amazing. We're talking about, like, you know, show up to this event and bring your ex-wife and we give you $500,000 each and things like that. And
crazy cars
and, you know, like Bentley and a G-Wagon and things like that. And just show up or, like, convince her to come. But that's not me. You know, I'm not even going to bring it up. I'm not even that wasn't going to be a thing for me. You know, mine was just to support. And hopefully when we get to a place where we can do that, then that would be smart to build an empire together.
Sure.
But at that moment in time, it wasn't. And that's things that people have done in her past.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to add, you know, fuel to the fire.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee, only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Yeah, so your thought was professionally, I'm not going to take anything or do anything that involves Brittany. And then additionally, things that are going to just involve me, I'm going to be very selective to make sure it doesn't negatively impact.
You know what? It was, you know, it's only normal. There's couples all the time that collaborate, you know, partner.
Oh,
up,
yeah, all know, over. Yeah,
all over the place. Yeah. It's smart to do in the entertainment industry, but my situation was very sensitive. And I wasn't going to be the person that was going to bring that up at all.
Yeah.
So I never, you know, I rejected all those things and I was very, you know, protective over that whole situation. So, but as far as career goes, you know, throughout those years, I did a really good job establishing relationships with casting directors. Mm-hmm. I did a really good stuff with comedy. I did a show called Black Monday.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's about, you know, Black Monday and how the stock market crashes.
Oh, shit. I got a finance guy. How did I not see that? Okay.
It's the Black funniest Monday. Show, I'll check it. I played Giancarlo, male stripper in that show.
Okay.
But it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, I met some good friends there. And then I did Hacks, which was really cool.
Yeah. I knew Hacks.
You know, and then I started figuring that comedy was one of the things that I do really well with. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a hard genre in TV and film because you can't be funny. You have to have a comedic, you know, somebody can't teach you to be funny.
No,
you just have to have the comedic timing down and it's a good thing and people get you respect for that. So, you know, I started doing all these cool things and still pushing and being inspirational and helping people on social media and making, you know, deal brands there. So I was making a good amount of money.
Cool.
At that moment of time. Yeah,
yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Now, one thing I wonder about is the acting career's taken off, TV and film is taken off, you're being selective, and then things turn and you get divorced. And so, of course, you know, I can't even imagine the day you get divorced, how long that window was of headlines, paparazzi, noise, and comments. How long from the day you file to the day it's actually closed are you dealing with scrutiny in the public and noise?
Not too long. And again, it wasn't, my take is the public is going to do their thing. So there's no point of dealing with that at all. Because if you haven't done anything wrong, if you're not up to anything wrong, then you don't have to worry about that. So for me, it's very easy because I never go down that road. So I don't have to deal with that. Eventually,
and you don't worry about it. Even though the myth, when people say stuff that aren't true, that doesn't bother you. You're just like, it's not true. You don't care. You're like not fazed by it.
You know, you're a human.
Yeah.
So it hurts your feelings. I can't sit here and say, oh, I don't care about certain comments or things like that. I just know it's not true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Wow. So if somebody tells you something and then you're like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's unfortunate you think that way, but it's not true.
Yeah. Did the going through the divorce, did that have any impact on your career, your professional ability or your castings? Did things like start to evaporate a little bit?
Not at all.
Interesting. Were you worried they might?
No, I wasn't. Because during, you know, as wonderful as that relationship ever was, and you know, as grateful I am for the experience and everything that happened in my life, I think being, you know, sometimes being single and having that moment with yourself, you're able to focus on your career more.
Yeah.
And when it comes to success in America, I think the number one factor is that you have to work. And you have to put in the time and there's a lot of competition you have to put in. So I think during that time, I had a motivation to only focus on myself. And this past few months or even a year, I've done more work than I ever have in my career.
Wow.
And that's not saying, you know, now that I'm divorced and now it was because, I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
It's actually, you know, I've been working a very long time to get to this level and hopefully have a chance to go to the next level. But it doesn't hurt to put, you know, dedicate all your time into your career. And unfortunately or fortunately, when you do have a family, when, you know, you are with somebody, you do have to go on dates. You do have to spend a lot of time together. You do have to focus, and that's time away from your career and your business and your things like that. And sometimes it's not healthy to pick and choose. You have to have a balanced life.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's what it takes to get to the next level. So I think I wasn't worried that things were going to go down or I was going to lose the opportunities. If I was going to lose friends and opportunities for that, then I'm just going to let that go because I don't need it anyway.
Yeah, interesting. A very, very mature perspective.
Yeah.
I want to jump to 2024. Before I do, because we're in a financial podcast, I got to at least ask.
Yes.
With the concern, and I don't know what you can and can't speak to, so if you can't speak to it, just be like, I can't speak to it, man.
Sure.
But with the conservativeship and some of the things that you saw of people taking financial advantage of her, what are some things that like you learned as it relates to financial abuse? Because everything that at least we see from the outside, it looks like it's like literally the definition of financial abuse.
I don't know exactly where the financial abuse was, but I learned that too much money is never good.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that too much money that doesn't, you know, make sense. Like, for example, you know, if you do something and then randomly you get a big paycheck or something like that, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. And what that opens is that, you know, if you were working since you were 8 years old and you're making millions and millions of dollars, everybody, especially the people that are close to you, they're going to want a piece.
Hmm.
You know, that story is different with me because I'm a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
And if I have, you know, if I start making a lot of money and then people around me, they come up to me and say, wait a minute, can I borrow this? Or they try to take advantage of me, I'm going to know right away. But if you're a childhood star, you know, you've been working for a very long time, you don't even know who's been taking advantage of you.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So that's what that's just, you know, looking from the outside. You don't even have to be me.
Yeah.
Looking at it is great. But what I learned about money is that if you do make a lot of it, it doesn't bring happiness. It brings happiness when you give it away.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? So when you, not necessarily donate, you don't have to give all of it away, but the whole point of being famous, the whole point of, you know, having a platform is that I think of it as the universe is giving you an opportunity to make this world a better place.
Hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to donate to a charity, but if you have some sort of a establishment or a business, you're feeding families, they're mm-hmm. working for you, that, you know, that you're creating jobs, you're putting their kids to school, so you are making this world a better place. So if you have that, then that's happiness, I think.
That's it. It's so interesting, like your story coming, like being an immigrant to the United States, because you're so capped on what opportunity you can have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come here and it's the land of opportunity. It's the dream to make it big, mm-hmm. and to earn wealth and build wealth. And then you go into a scenario and in life in which you're seeing like all the toxicity and how human behaviors could change because of money, and how the land of opportunity, if you are given too much opportunity at a certain age, actually could turn extremely toxic unless you're taking that opportunity to create a greater impact. Like, who exactly in the world gets that perspective and then gets to speak and educate people on relationship with money? And it's really interesting to hear you say, like, I'm telling you, I've seen it with my own eyes. Money doesn't buy happiness.
Yeah, money doesn't buy happiness. And this is coming from someone that didn't have a lot of money growing up. And,
of course.
And, you know, up until this day, I would like to have more money. But I know that if I have a paycheck, it happens all the time. Then if I go buy something, what is that going to mean to me?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's been moments, I do good things, but I never speak about it. And I'm a big believer that we live in a universe. Well, you know, if you want to believe in Jesus, Muhammad, Abraham, whoever you want to believe in, whatever religion that you want to believe in, there's a higher power. And I think, you know, if you kind of put that energy out there, you mm-hmm. kind of receive it back. That's the only thing that's been proven to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it has only happened is when I've done nice things for people financially. And then right away, I didn't even think about it. And right away, I would get something out of it's Ooh. Just incredible how that works. But I'm not saying that's the reason why you should do it. It's just that it truly brings in happiness when you help somebody. It doesn't have to be financially, and you know, financially is what people struggle with the most, and that's the best help you can do. But just by helping someone, you know, the universe or whatever the case is going to get back at you.
It's a great trading secret right there. Be careful what you put out, because it does come back to get you. for the good or for the bad, I think, right? Mm-hmm. So we're here at 2024. You have a wild, wild ups, downs, lefts, and rights. You're now a single man, and Hulu, Disney, ABC comes knocking on your door for Traitors. Mm-hmm. So has there ever been, and by the way, we've talked about in the show before with actors and stuff that have come on, going from unscripted to scripted is really hard. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people will say going scripted to unscripted could be career suicide.
Yes.
And so my question to you is, before you even accepted Traitors, which ended up becoming an absolute phenomenon, most watched reality show in the last year, just crushed it, were you approached to be on reality TV, and did you decline it for that reason at all?
It's been, at that point, it was about 5 years or so that I was approached to be on reality. I think ever since...
Oh, so you've been approached often?
Yeah. Dancing with the Stars and that. But, then again... You have to be smart. You don't care about what people say. You have to be smart. Dancing with the Stars, people vote, right?
Yeah.
So you got to dance. I can't really dance. at that moment in time, it was a no. Now it might be different. Traitors.
Were you married at that time?
I was married at the time, and I was on. It's been
You've been asked a couple times.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
And Traitors was, I think this was the second time the conversation happened. Mm. And because it's a tough, you don't want to go there, but you also want to go there. Traitors is amazing TV that's not really, gossipy, not really reality stuff. Are people going to ask about your past life? Are they going to make you the antagonist? Are you going to be the bad person? I brainstormed with a friend of mine that's my mentor that's been in reality. So if I was going to do it, it was going to be, I'm going to go out there, have some fun, and be myself. That's all I could do. And hopefully I don't, I don't become the bad guy, whatever the case is. So it was, at that moment of time, it made sense.
Okay.
At that moment of time, it made sense. And, I had a few months off of acting stuff. And I figured, let's go to Scotland and shoot this show.
Yeah.
And Alan Cumming is hosting it. They shoot it like some sort of a scripted
TV. Interesting.
And it's, it's quite different. It's not the same. There's no gossip. There's just playing the game. And it's really cool. And a lot of people watch it. So that was the decision.
When you think about that career decision for where you want to be, hindsight, would you have done it again or no?
I would have done it again. I think it was, I wouldn't have do it again because now the timing might not work. But at that moment of time and the way it went down and how the game was played and how I was shown and how I handled it, it went really perfect. Uh-huh. And after that, the opportunities of scripted, not because of that, not because of the Traitors, but just the way my life is going now, it made sense.
I like it. Yeah. Okay, we're talking business here. You're the boss, you're the CEO. I'm gonna do a little hire fire game. Mm-hmm. You look at the cast of Traitors, you start a business tomorrow. There's one person in that entire cast you gotta hire for your business. One person you're like, nope, they're not coming on my business. Who are you gonna hire and who are you gonna fire?
I think I would hire Boston Rob and then I would fire Tom.
Okay, all right, there you go. Interesting. You're like, shocker, shocker. Here we go. Fire Tom. Tom gets fired again. All right. I also want you to do this exercise. You're going back into scripted full speed, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Jim Carrey, 1990, he had a check in his pocket. It was a blank check. He wrote it out for $10 million. And he said, in 5 years, I'm going to make this in acting. It was year 4.5. He kept it every single day. The thing got disheveled at year 4.5. He got paid over $10 million for Dumb and Dumber. Mm-hmm. You're an actor. You're thinking like Jim Carrey. Right now, you got a check. You think about your career. What's the amount that you want to write on that check that you're going to make in acting in the next, let's say, the next 10 years?
Next 10 years, we go with $60
million. $60 million bucks. And in the next 10 years, how do you get to $60 million in TV and film? What does it look like?
It looks like miracle. Miracles have to happen. Miracles have to happen. And get I think right now, when Jim Carrey did it, was much harder.
Yeah.
But right now there's, it's a different world and people are making a lot more money. You're looking at Kevin Hart, The Rock, they're crossing paths, they're creating things, they're doing this, they're doing that. Now you have opportunities like TV and then you can do film. At the time you had to be more selective. So God knows, maybe I go into production, which I already have a producing partner in a production called PB&J Productions. Sure. And we have a TV series, so if one of those gets sold, that's $60 million. I don't know what the
number
is.
There you go.
But it's not for the money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not for
the money. All right, well, when you give that $60 million, you're going to come back, you're going to talk about it. I mean, you have hit every single career spectrum in entertainment, it feels like. Modeling, music videos, acting, unscripted, you've done it all. You just said The Rock. Maybe the only thing you haven't done is WWE. You got the body, you got the look for it. Would you ever go into something like WWE?
There's been talks, you know.
I feel like you'd kill it.
I think it would be great, man. I love WWE. I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
And they make good actors. I work with John Cena.
Yeah.
And we had a fight scene where I, you know, had a taste of the WWE on the movie.
That's pretty sick.
And, you know, I met Nikki
Bella.
She has a Bella twin, she's great. And she's amazing. I think that takes incredible talent. I don't mind getting into that for a little bit. If the time goes right. So yeah, it would be great.
All right, maybe that'll happen. But right now the focus is casting TV film. That's the main focus?
That's the main focus, okay. Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. Well, Sam, I appreciate you coming on Trading Secrets. It's been such an interesting career path. Your perspective on relationships and money and just toxicity but healthy behaviors with money, I think is so unique given your experiences. And I think it's going to be so refreshing for everyone to hear. So I appreciate you coming on. But we gotta wrap with the Trading Secret. So it's something you can't learn from a master class, a professor, a TikTok tutorial, only from your experience. It could be a financial trading secret, life trading secret, a quote you live by, but there's only one trading secret that can come from you to Sam. So what can you leave us with?
Mine is when it's low, you buy.
Okay.
And then when it's high, you figure out where it is to sell.
Yeah.
Because eventually it's going to come down and then you buy more.
I like that.
I wish I did that with crypto, what is it, a month ago?
Yeah.
2 months ago, and then I would have bought it again, but you have to be disciplined and you have to set a plan and you have to follow it.
Yeah.
And then invest in long-term, you know, S&P 500 and all those things.
All right, there you go. We got a finance guy here too. Buy low, sell high, S&P 500. I always like at the end of the episode for me to say what I learned from you, like my secret. I think the secret I learned from you, Sam, is that like let character prevail at all times. Regardless of what noise is out there, you determine who you are and no one else determines who you are. And even when it might feel like the heavy, when you continue to be you and be the best version of you, people will see that. But it also doesn't matter if people see it because you know it.
Exactly.
And it feels like that has been something like your foundation has been you at the core.
Mm-hmm.
And through it all, it's led you to continue to succeed through all different adversities, successes, and failures. And I think that's pretty badass. So congratulations on everything.
It.
We're going to watch you make $60 million. When you do, you're coming back to trade the secrets. And before we wrap, where can everyone find everything you have going on?
I post, you know, everything that I do on social media, and then sometimes on the press does speak for themselves.
Ignore the press, follow them on social media. Yeah. That's the answer, and we'll be back to get and see when that $60 million comes in. Sam, thank you for being on Trading Secrets.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Ding, ding, ding. We are closing the bell to the Sam Asghari episode in a very interesting format right here. I am sitting in the theater room of the one and only David Arduin's house in Rochester, New York. We are sharing one mic, and we are sitting side by side, butt by butt, toe by toe in your theater room, sharing this mic back and forth. David, obviously there's a lot to cover in this recap, but first and foremost, Sam Asghari, what I'm curious is I love when you always have a take of your predisposition of someone before they come on the show, and then you listen to the podcast, your after disposition. I have an inkling that like you would have an interesting take on the before and after here. So, David, first of all, good to be side by side with you, and secondly, what'd you think of the Sam Asghari episode?
Yeah, you know, you can always count on me for a take. And I think I was pretty vocal in our, not even in our pre-show, but in our pre-strategy meetings of who we were going to get on the podcast. I was not a fan of bringing Sam on because, you know, I maybe have fallen for some of the narratives or some of the things of people who are quick to defend Britney and think that, you know, maybe he was, you know, trying to take advantage of her situation. For those, I think I've said on this podcast before, I had a grade 7 art project and it was I Love Britney Spears collage. I got a 5 out of 10 on it. I'm still very, very, very depressed about it. But I lumped him in that category if he was coming at our girl Britney. But man, I love getting humbled. I love getting a nice piece of humble pie because that guy's story kind of his perspective, what he's been through, the kind of fast lane that he was thrown into the fire of being in such a the most high profile with a relationship with the most one of the most high profile celebrities of all time. What an incredible journey that he's been on, a perspective that he has, and it was just incredible.
And I think to your point, just the way that he was able to take the high road with all like the mislabeling, with all what I'm going to say is lies, with all the things that you had been under the impression that were the case, someone that was strictly using someone, but his composure in this episode, we would talk about like, listen, I just know the truth always surfaces. I know my character. No one can take that away from me. And no matter what people say or how they say it, you can't rewrite history because there is no history to showcase with Brittany and I. Other than it didn't work out and she's awesome and onward we march. And so I don't know. I was just like very refreshed by his disposition. The things he said and what he did, it was crazy too as you think about Gold's Gym. Like imagine you're slinging memberships at Gold's Gym and then you're asked to be Britney Spears' lover. And this time, at the time he's asked, like Britney Spears is the biggest person like in the world. Like what a 180.
I wonder if you were to ask him with some truth serum in him, if he wishes that he if he could go back to that life of selling memberships, Gold's Gym, and never kind of step foot into the world that he stepped foot into, would he have done that? Because, and I say that in the sense of he's just been exposed to so many things. He talks about NDAs. You can't imagine all the things that, like you just mentioned, he can't speak of and just hopes and knows that the truth will come to the surface. And now he's having to be in a situation to protect his character from random strangers like me until they come on the podcast and explain it. I just wonder when you have that level of perspective, if you just wish things would have gone back to normal. And like you said, money does not solve the happiness. And you see it with, Justin Bieber, and you see it with other celebrities where, the people that we think have it all, sometimes all they want is to have it all go away.
And it was interesting. And I know, like, I feel like even with that comment, what you're alluding to is exactly where I was going next, which is it was interesting to see him talk about all the opportunities that he passed up on while he was with Britney because he wanted to, I guess just be cognizant of that. And I guess that's probably one of the things you don't think about. I think he's very, very aware that there were opportunities that were led because he was with Britney Spears. I also think he's aware in the fact that he was so, at least from what he vocalized to us, that he was so hyper cognizant of, I can't ruin her reputation. I can't take things because I'm with her. I'm going to say no to certain things to just be sensitive to that. At least like that was very, very vocal in his messaging. And even when he referenced like the few $100,000 to just show up somewhere and get a big luxury car. And he's like, no, I'm not going to partake in that. It's just a wild, wild world. And yeah, you think about, it's interesting to also see like what some of these celebrities go through, and like a Britney Spears, like it's so sad to see like what, like when you look at Britney in her prime and like everything that she was like, just like her media training and like everything she had and like what's happened since then, it's so sad. And I feel like I don't know what's going on with Justin Bieber right now, but when you see the clips on TikTok, it feels like he's going through a lot too. Like there are so many things that as viewers and fans, we can't understand being in their shoes, but like the detriment to their mental health in connection to what Sam's talking about with just like money doesn't buy happiness, it's so real.
Yeah, it is so real. And you think of all the people we've had on the podcast before. I don't know. All of them, since they're on the podcast, they're obviously successful or they've gotten themselves into a new venture and they've obviously changed their lifestyle as they quote unquote once knew it. I think it's fair to say that nobody's lifestyle had changed as much in a short time as Sam has did from the Gold's Gym to all of a sudden being in a relationship with the most popular. I would honestly say she's probably, if not the, she's top three most popular celebrities in our lifetime in the last, in the last 50 years. So it was just great to get his perspective. Seems like a super knowledgeable guy. Like I said, at the end of the day, I'd never say this, very, very well likable guy.
Yeah, it's like, don't, I guess,
don't judge a book by its cover, right? The old adage, don't judge a book by its cover. I think something else like we have to at least speak to, because I know there's a lot of action in this episode, but just a lot of action going on in life right now. We're obviously here for a reason in Rochester. I mean, there's just a lot happening. We are celebrating one of our very close family friends and father of our best friend's life here in Rochester. And it is interesting, you know, aside from this episode, it's so good to be back and see the people we're seeing. It's so sad it's under these circumstances. And even in, like, I don't know, maybe weird connection to this podcast, like, all it, like, nothing really matters anything in life other than the people you love and care about. Like, truly nothing. Like,
yeah, it's very well said. And you know, there's the best conversations are always the hardest conversations. When you kind of strip away the layers and you're surrounded by best friends and family members, and you know, celebrating the life of one who left us too soon is why you're here and what we're doing, what we have been doing this weekend, and what we will continue to do Monday and Tuesday. And you know, a lot of reflection goes on with that internally, and in your support for your absolute best friend. And I will just say, like, if you're listening to this, take every opportunity you can to tell your parents that you love them, to tell people that you know you should be reaching out to. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't make an excuse. Don't feel like, you know, it's lame to pick up the phone and just say, tell someone that they love them or you're thinking about them. You know, it's something that we all need to do as many times as we can, because like you said, when you strip it all away, at the end of the day, that's all you have.
Yeah, and I mean, even when we were perfectly said, like, if I think one of the big things you just said too is, like, some of the hardest conversations in life are the most meaningful, and like, those are the ones that make the most impact. And if there is anything, like, if you're avoidant with your feelings, whatever it might be, if there's something holding you back from, like, having those hard conversations or just having a conversation where expressing your love and gratitude for someone, I would urge you right now, stop what you're doing. Call the people you love, send them an audio note, send them a text, just say, hey, I love you. Like, I think it's so, so important. We were sitting at dinner with me, you, and our very close friend. And it's interesting, two things from our podcast actually came up that connected to the depths of our conversation. The first one was when you think about, and then both were actually in the Sahil Bloom episode, but the first one is when you think about, like, how many times in life you might actually be with your parents or your grandparents or your aunts, uncles, brother, sister, best friends. Like, life passes us by so fast. We have so many things that become a priority. And, like, the number of good quality times, like today, like, you and I got to play golf today. Okay. We sat on that course for 6 hours, chopping it up, laughing. Like, truly, how many more times in our life will we get to do that?
Well, it's happened so, it's not free. Like, when's the last time we played golf?
Oh, probably four years ago.
So that's it. We're two best friends, and we're in, you know, what is the prime of our lives right now. And it's taken us, we're golfing every 4 years. So if that trend continues, we got 10 more rounds of golf in us.
Yeah. Those are things that got to change, because those are the things, like, you think about today, how important it is. The other thing that's, like, when you're dealing with someone that you love and care so much about that's going through such a hard time, I think you always want to naturally move in one direction to help them, or you're confused by, like, what do I say? How do I say it? What's the next thing, right? And I'll never forget in the Sahil Bloom episode when he said, when someone's struggling, someone you care about, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member, but you don't know how to respond, don't try to respond. Just ask them, do you need help? Do you need to be hugged? Or do you need to be heard? And if those things, like, are too cliche to you, make it your own version of that. But I do think that's a good way of trying to help someone that you really care about.
100%. And some personal news as well, and Jason already knows this because we've talked about it, but in the same breath, I am going to announce that my wife and I are pregnant with our second child, and we are very, very excited about that. And I'd just like to throw it in there now, which may seem a little weird because you're talking about you know, celebrating one's life was passed, and then at the same time you're talking about, you know, celebrating the announcement of looking forward to welcoming another child into this world. But at the end of the day, that, my friends, is life. And the quicker that you can understand that and appreciate that and share that with everybody that you can, you guys listening on the podcast, but more importantly, like your closest family and your closest friends, and have those conversations and open up to each other. That's really what it's all about. And from the Sam episode to having all the money and not creating happiness, and the reality of life is it's about the moments that you create and the people that you get to share it with. And Ashley and I are very, very excited to welcome baby boy or girl. We'll find out in 8 weeks.
It is the circle of life. That's an awesome transition. Huge congratulations to you and Ashley. I know everyone at home's got to be wondering, when is Ashley due?
December 5th. She's 13 weeks right now. Let me just tell you, Carter, our two-year-old, he was a dream pregnancy from all things. Obviously, I don't know. I was just trying to take advantage of some of the weird cravings that Ashley was having. It was very smooth, very seamless. She didn't get sick. This one's been a roller coaster. Ash says she feels hungover every single day. So it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. We're hoping that means it's a girl. That's kind of what people have said, but you know, happy and healthy baby is all we care about. But it's exciting and terrifying, and you know, you'll just be overjoyed when the time comes, and you'll go in survival mode. And that's what it's all about.
I love it. Well, I could speak for all the Money Mafia. We are so happy for both you and Ashley. And it is surreal that we get to announce something like this on a podcast. So congratulations to both you guys. And again, a week like this is a week that puts things in perspective, especially when we have a lot of this money and professional talk. Really, the only things that matter in life, or the truest things, are the people you care about, family, friends, and that's what makes the world go round. And it's the circle of life. We're celebrating one's life, and now we're celebrating the future life of maybe your baby boy, maybe a baby girl. We will see. And I know I could speak for Dave when I say, two big Britney Spears fans over here.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say now, to Sam Asghari fans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Welcome to the fam.
I love it. Well, if you guys can remember to give us 5 stars, take your guess. Do you think David's going to have a baby boy or baby girl? We might have to get some kind of game going on the Trading Secrets Instagram. Maybe a little giveaway. Do some predictions out there. Who knows? Baby boy or baby girl. It's coming in December. And we thank you guys for tuning into another episode of Trading Secrets. One you couldn't afford to miss.
Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th, and every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.